Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, June 12th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And now let's turn over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 28 of David. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back on them what they deserve. Because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song, I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. And now let's turn over to the book of Job. Today we are in Job chapter 28, and we're taking a turn in the book of Job to a section where Job talks about true wisdom. The title in my Bible says, Interlude, Where Wisdom is Found. There is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Mortals put an end to the darkness. They search out the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from human dwellings, they cut a shaft in places untouched by human feet. Far from other people, they dangle and sway. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Lapis lazuli comes from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. People assault the flinty rock with their hands and lay bare the roots of the mountains. They tunnel through the rock. Their eyes see all its treasures. They search the sources of the rivers and bring hidden things to light. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me." The sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and He alone knows where it dwells. For He views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When He established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when He made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then He looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And He said to the human race, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I love when I'm reading the Bible and I recognize that it is interacting with something else I am reading. And I'm reading right now this book called The Meaning of Marriage by Timothy Keller. And Tim Keller says here something about the fear of the Lord. The whole section in this book is about it, but I'm going to try to condense it to one little paragraph. Obviously, he says, to be in the fear of the Lord is not to be scared of the Lord, even though the Hebrew word has overtones of respect and awe. Fear in the Bible means to be overwhelmed, to be controlled by something. To fear the Lord is to be overwhelmed with wonder before the greatness of God and His love. It means that because of His bright holiness and magnificent love, you find Him fearfully beautiful. That is why the more we experience God's grace and forgiveness, the more we experience a trembling awe and wonder before the greatness of all that He is and has done for us. Fearing Him means bowing before Him out of amazement at His glory and beauty. Paul speaks of the love of Christ constraining us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. What is it that most motivates and moves you? Is it the desire for success, the pursuit of some achievement, the need to prove yourself to your parents, the need for respect from your peers? Are you largely driven by anger against someone or some people who have wronged you? Paul says that if any of these things is a greater controlling influence on you than the reality of God's love for you, you will not be in a position to serve others unselfishly. Only out of the fear of the Lord Jesus will we be liberated to serve one another. Remember the verse at the end of Job 28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this opportunity to read your word, to be reminded of your faithfulness to us. We want to come with the spirit of awe, recognizing the many graces that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for a love that never gives up, a marital love that does not wane. You and the Bible are described as a loving husband, even to an adulterous wife. And so that makes us have all for you. And we pray, Lord, that we would start there, that we would fear you, the one who has all wisdom. We know very little about very little, and you created all. And so we just want to sit there in wonder and in love. Thank you for this opportunity to read together. Continue to teach us about yourself. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for this beautiful story that impacts our story. Because Christ was raised, we too will be raised. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.